Hello, welcome to Underdressed, the podcast where we talk about the clothes under our clothes and exactly how they get made. My name is Trudy Gardner. I'm the freelance designer behind Wayfinder Lingerie. In this show, I'll be exploring the art, practice, and technical execution of intimate apparel. We'll be taking a behind-the-scenes look at this industry and trying to understand exactly how designers balance creativity with functionality, specifically as it pertains to our hardworking yet delicate base layers. Thanks for listening. We'll see you in the show. Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome. Today we have Terry and Brad from TensorGrawl. I wasn't sure how to say it. How do you say it, Brad?
Tensangle, which is a different tense from the word tensegrity, coined by Buckminster Fuller.
All right. Okay, so this is really cool. You guys, we connected on LinkedIn because you have a really cool product that's related to intimate apparel. It's this really interesting way that you have woven together fibers to create bras and other kinds of underwear. I have one sample that you sent me right here, and I had the opportunity to try it out. I was just looking at an article that was written about you guys in the Lingerie Briefs magazine, and I'll make sure I link that down below. But it was super interesting because the way that you came about creating this product is a pretty good story, as well as what the product is itself. So whoever is more comfortable speaking about it, why don't you guys tell me a little bit about the history?
Well, we grew up, we had kids in Pennsylvania and lived on a steep hill. I get tired of chasing balls down the hill. So I made a oversized badminton bird with a soft foam head that you hit with your hands and your feet.
So Brad's showing us a little example of that right now. It's like this gigantic badminton birdie. So this was like the first version of what was eventually going to become these bras.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, I had started by pulling fibers over a tube by hand, and that worked out pretty well. And then I tried to get somebody to do to weave something like this. And I tried a guy in England that knitted, and I couldn't come up with a structure for the tail that I wanted. Something nice and strong and flexible. And so after doing it by hand, I realized, well, what the machine would look like that would produce this. But I didn't know the machine existed. So I tried to invent the machine. Turned out the machine was a lace braiding machine. That a machine that was designed to create wedding lace and, you know, all sorts of normal lace, and took over many a girl's job in the 1800s, I imagine. So after that, I tried to purchase a lace braiding machine, and they were run on punch cards like player pianos. And we went and saw some of the old machines, like 100-year-old machines running out of an old factory in Rhode Island, running off the punch cards, and tried to get them to run me a pattern, and they weren't interested in running me a pattern.
This initial pattern was for to still be creating these badminton type things. And so this badminton ball, you said you didn't want to be chasing it down a hill, but so did it not fall down the hill because of the way that the braiding?
Yeah, well, not so much as the general shape. It's just it doesn't roll in a line since it's tall.
Okay, gotcha. Okay. So it was a toy, like when you were kids. It was like you were developing a toy for you guys.
And playing, yeah, to play with the kids.
Okay.
I played tennis as a kid, and I did get tired of chasing tennis balls around the court. So it was
pretty natural for me. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, the pattern I wanted them to run for me was very simple. I just pulled it over a tube, like I said, by hand, and it was basically a hammock, except it was in a tubular. It went all the way around. It wasn't flat like a hammock. So after they wouldn't produce it for me, I asked them whether I could buy a machine, and they said, "Ah, we just sold the last lace braiding machine in America to China," and bought them all. And so, some years later, I bothered to go and see what China's done with them, and they put on little computers to run them instead of a punch card, and they made a nice little program to create the different patterns that you would use to create lace, or in this case, something tubular that I was looking for. I think most people wouldn't picture a lace braiding machine doing something tubular, although it's a round machine wherein the spindles go all the way around a circle. So after that, what happened? Well, eventually I bought a machine, brought it home,
You got it from
and
China?
with a little computer and a little
How big are
program.
these machines?
Oh, they're pretty heavy. They're like 1 ton, 6 feet wide.
So how did you manage to get that home from China?
Well, I of course I didn't go there, but they were quite accommodating. Along with the machine, they sent a Chinese person to train me how to use it,
Oh, cool.
because I evidently was that difficult. Unfortunately, one of the favorite stories I have, which I probably have to share, is they also gave me a spooling machine to put yarn on spools, if you want to show them some yarn on spools. And so we tried to get the yarn to spool up on this little machine they sent over as well, but he couldn't figure out how to get it to spool the right way. And I felt like I was right for the technology when I suggested you just flip the spool over, and then it would spool the right way. My little my arrogant, egotistical little story there. But yeah, it turns out I couldn't, while he was here for a week or two, we couldn't get the big machine to run. And oh my goodness, the screen wouldn't work for us, basically. We couldn't, talk to it because its screen wasn't functioning. And so never even got it going while he was here. But sometime later, after just trying and trying and trying, I realized that there was really just moisture in the machine, and if I ran it long enough, it would dry out, and then the screen would work. We got a machine up and running, and I start creating patterns for badminton birds to test their structure out as composites, which this is a natural nylon fiber, and it has a polymer embedded, saturated into it, and that's what makes it a composite structure. This has so little to do with lingerie. I'm sorry to waste your time
Yeah,
on
no. It's okay. We got time. I'm here to hear the story. I
one.
want to know. I'm the because it's interesting to we're gonna get there, I'm sure, but to understand how this badminton, this gigantic badminton thing evolves into bras.
It is funny. So the evolution of that, well, it is a lace braiding machine, so you did have to know of creating lace and pretty things. I never really tried to create any lace on it. I'd still be hard pressed to create lace on, despite the fact they sent me a lot of patterns that would create lace. Just to back up, this is a spool that the yarns go on to, and I have a little machine that winds the yarns on automatically onto these spools. And that's what the difference
It was
was.
on backwards. It's like putting your bobbin in the sewing machine the wrong way.
Hundreds of patterns later and lots of different tests for structure, I came up with one pattern that I thought was particularly good. I believe this is a variation of the pattern here. It's funny how you could produce so many different patterns on this machine, and so many of them would be not so useful.
So all these different patterns that you were testing out were still for the structure of this badminton
It
book?
was, yeah.
And so were you using, what was the material that these were being made out of? Like what you're holding in your hand right now? Like, 'cause that's pretty stiff.
I started with Kevlar, which had to be the hardest thing to start with on these machines, because the machines don't want to run a lot of these patterns, particularly if you're using something like Kevlar, where it gets all stringy, and then the stringies bind up and makes a mess, and you're spending time with that.
So Kevlar, the thread, like a thread made out of Kevlar?
Yeah, a yarn
Okay.
about this size.
Okay.
We have a shoe here that illustrates, a shoe we made out of Kevlar. But so, yeah, I'm
Okay,
going
cool.
about this, the worst possible way using this material. Some years later, I get around to using cotton, and it's like a dream. And by that time, I've had so many different patterns, I sort of understood, the potential of what I could do. I think
So you
we'll
just
have.
started experimenting. So you started out with the badminton, but then you started experimenting with clothing. Like that shoe was an experiment, and there's a whole like it's re your site's pretty cool. There's a whole bunch of different types of garments. There's dresses on there and underwear, men's underwear, lots of different things. You just started. Was this just like you're just like, what else can I make with this
Yeah,
knitting
it's
machine?
yeah, there's so the different patterns produce so many different types of material. Where I'm still learning and finding out new types of material that perform in different ways.
Mm.
This legging I just made that
Oh, cool.
with some elastic in it that creates a real nice density with a good insulating value, I would imagine.
Yeah. So was there like a particular garment or idea that you had that took you from the badminton, what's that called, a birdie, from the birdie to start making clothing garments? Like what was that? How did you come to that switch? Or maybe it's because it was a lace braiding machine, so it was kind of natural to think of making clothing with it.
The honest story on that is a little long as well. But I suppose I have to do it since you asked. I think it was Keen sent us an email, the shoe company. Unfortunately, we had sort of given up on, that lace braiding site, and we didn't even receive the email. We weren't looking at that email address. And so some months later, Nike called us.
Oh, cool.
And so we made them some shoes. These are some of the examples, and
Oh,
yeah, they thought they were pretty special. I was quoted as saying, this is the real deal.
cool.
And true that, you get the right pattern on a shoe, you get some impressive structure out of the out of this stuff.
Okay,
And
so
so
shoes were first. And what was the interest of these companies like Keen and Nike in this particular product? What was the special selling point of these products that these companies were interested in?
Terry's shaking her head. Terry had made a couple websites to display the different patterns I made, and on the front homepage of that website were some pretty pictures, and that's about it.
You mean what are you saying? What were the footwear companies interested in?
Yeah, like was there a special characteristics about these particular shoes that they were interested in? Like they were knit on your lace knitting machine, and they're cool because they're zero waste, which was a subject that I want to get into. There would have been something that these companies saw in this product that was particularly different from the way that they were making their own shoes at the time, or something that was special about them. That's what I'm trying to.
I think that was during when the knits were
Yeah, that was right in the beginning of, let's say, digital knitting or Flyknit.
Okay.
2015, when they were exploring things, I think everybody wanted to know
The next best.
what's the next best. And in theory, a braid is superior to a knit only because it has a lockout, versus a knit that you can't really achieve a lockout because of the loop structure.
Okay, so can we explain that? So what that says to me in my head is like my sweater is knit, and if I tear a hole in it, that hole will keep growing because it's the way that it's knit. So does lockout mean that that hole won't keep growing?
No, a lot of people I've heard complain about sweaters stretching out.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's that stretch out you wouldn't want in a shoe.
Okay.
So a lockout really, it's you want it disallows it from stretching out.
Okay, because of the way it's knit, it moves with the body or moves with the foot. And so where my sweater will get worn out and stretched out over time, the structure of your knit, since it's moving with the body, it's braid, the structure of the braid, since it's moving with the body, it wouldn't wear out in the same way.
Knit is made of a lot of little loops, and that's what allows it to stretch out so far and makes it so useful in for that. Whereas ours are linked like hammocks, and so the yarns have a limit to their stretch out that is much shorter than the knit would be.
Interesting.
So in essence, it's a natural containment, you know, and because they're linked and unbound, that and one unified structure, that's what it's reactive to motion and movement. Does that they're like the filaments adjust their you know proximity to react to movement.
Yeah, that makes sense. I when I was trying them on, yeah, that made sense. Didn't feel like, yeah, it's hard to explain, but the fabric comes together, like it stretches, but only this much, right? But exactly as much as it needs to accommodate like what pressure your body is putting on it.
Well, interestingly enough, it takes us back to a term we learned from the badminton bird, or we developed it, which was stealing. You can steal fibers or something from one place to another, i.e. a fiber will, a hole will get big here and small over here and somehow steal. And those pieces allow it to conform with keeping the tension distributed equally throughout it. And I think that's the value to lingerie or footwear, is having that equally bound tension distribution.
Awesome. Yeah, I think that makes sense. So Nike was interested in your product and you guys made some shoes for them. And then how does it evolve? Because we still haven't gotten to undergarments.
Then they sued us, and then we sort of, boy, that was funny. We're not allowed to say anything, of course.
Did you say they sued you?
Yes, they sued us. And then they wrote countless patents for lace braiding machines, which they had no idea what they were. When we told them we were doing these on lace braiding machines, they thought we were doing it on shoelace braiding machines. So after we got over that took some time. We decided that I'd rather do lingerie than shoes, and it seemed a bit easier. And so, you know, I had a good model to work with.
Very nice.
I worked the bras. I mean, I remember like the first one, we were like, you know, it works. It looks like it could work. And so, you know, I worked it for a long time.
Cool. Yeah. So,
we got a patent for this pattern, but this wasn't the right pattern for bras. So we got another pattern, a patent for the bras.
Okay.
For a new fabric.
All right. Okay. So let's talk about the development of the bra. I think it's really cool because so the bottom of this band is stretchy, right? Like, and that's what's going to hold it to your body. But then like the other parts of it aren't as stretchy. Is that something about the way that it's braided, the fabric? Like, is there elastic? There's no, I don't see any elastic in the bottom here, but how is that created? How is this magic done?
Yeah, we might be able to go out and show you a machine producing the yarns that allow that to happen. I have a thin piece of elastic, and then I braid some yarn around that and keep little loops in it so it can stretch out really far. And after I produce then that yarn with elastic in it, I will run that bra with certain yarns with that elastic. So that has, say, 15 elastic yarns, and the rest of the yarns in that piece are not elasticated.
Okay, cool. So this bottom band has elastic woven into the threads of it,
Yep.
and the rest of the bra isn't. So, but it's all one piece. So you just change out the thread at some point, like after you've like done a few of these like bottom band rows.
Well, I have three different machines, 64 carriers, 96 carriers, and 128 carriers. And so I load them up with those spools and on the carriers. And I'll load some of them up with the elasticated yarn and others without it. And it's
Okay,
all
that
kind
makes sense.
of color coded for me and
Yeah.
set up
Okay,
easily.
so you know what I would love if you could send me just like a video or even just like some pictures of your machine afterwards, and I'll splice them into the
Can we
podcast.
show them right now?
Yeah,
Would
sure,
you?
yeah.
I
Okay.
could even check one off if you
Oh, here, let me start about that.
wanted.
Let me see if I can. Wait, how do I do this then?
We'll have to change our camera view. I hope we don't mess up.
All right. We
And
have the magic of editing to do whatever we need to.
okay.
It's
Here's
like
a.
taking this is cool as I'm like I'm taking a field trip to your little
It's our 96 carrier. We're running some colorful stuff for some washcloths. We've just found a nice pattern that works really well for washcloths. These are my two 64 carrier machines, and these are the elasticated yarns I was talking about making.
Okay.
They have 100 to 125% elasticity, meaning they'll stretch twice their length.
Wait a minute, you make these yarns as well?
Yeah, these are the yarns that are in that piece
Okay,
that
so
are out.
that machine behind you is a yarn making machine?
Well, no, this is a lace braiding machine that makes lace for wedding, but I get to make everything on this thing.
Okay, so it's like these are little tiny like things of lace, like so they turn into yarns, which you then use to
Right.
create the rest of the garment. Very cool.
Yeah, so here, if you can see these carriers with the spools on them, if Terry gets around to it. And this one is elasticated, the yellow color coded is elastic. And then these three are not. And then if I turn this on, you'll see this yellow one, take a pattern around here. It'll be loud for just a minute.
That's so cool.
These are the knives that generally call a beat up knives, and they beat up the fabric to go up here. And sometimes I put a tongue in here. I call it a tongue. I call this a mouth, and a tongue separates these. So the on that 96, you can see that mouth with the tongue in it and the fabric going around it as it comes off the machine here.
All right.
If you
Now I
can
got to
see.
know, how does the machine? So you said there's a computer. Is there a computer that you put the patterns into?
Can we'll just show this tower here that basically has a USB port, so I have a program I run on my machine that creates the pattern, and then I feed it into the tower and tell it to run it from this console.
Okay. What program on your computer do you use to create the patterns?
Well, let's have a look see. The first thing I did was sort of create my own because the one they gave me was hard to read. It was just sort of like dots. They're used to producing these old punch cards with just dot patterns where they would punch the hole in the card. And so it is kind of an on-off computer situation. But so I created myself a little program in basically an Illustrator.
Okay.
In this case, it was Canvas is the name of it. I tried to sell that a lot. And this, I have these little pieces over here that I can just put together and make these patterns that's how we'll, and then the program they gave me is this one, and then I can take those patterns and run them out repetitively to create garments. Over here, it kind of shows you the overall, where I can do different patterns throughout this garment. This is a hole going down here for an arm. And this happens to be a bra down here. And so I've got all different patterns run from this one. And these are the different patterns, the variations of the one pattern that that you know used to create the variations in some of these pieces.
Okay, that's really interesting. Okay, so this is super cool. Okay, so these are the patterns that you use to create basically the fabric of these bras, but then the way that you manage the tension across the bra is, does it have to do with like the size of the, like the space in the pattern where there's like where these links link up? I'm doing a terrible job of explaining this.
this is a good piece to perhaps answer that question with. These were the this was basically the piece you saw on the computer and the patterns. And so one of these patterns produces this large hole size, and another one of those patterns produces this dense. And you know, wanting a lot of density here, I was able to, in the back, just create the large holes, and this allowed the density to steal from the back, since this is not very dense, and then steal some of the material, if you will, for the front of the piece. So if that helps explain your question.
Yeah, I think the word I was looking for was the tension. So the way that it manages like the weight of your breasts in a bra is that where it needs more tension, it's more tightly knit, and where it could use less tension, then it's less tightly knit. Or braided, right?
Yeah, let's look at this piece a minute. So this doesn't have much elastic in it. There's one piece going through here, and then these pieces are elasticated in back here. This is an interesting piece in that it's one piece, but it runs up and around the neck and back down again, and I lace it together here down here. There's a seam all the way down that is laced together. By hand, you might say.
Okay, that's finished by hand.
Well, the funny thing of the by, yeah, it's laced by hand, but I actually lace it on a spring. These are the springs I make these lacings with.
Okay.
basically, spinning this spring through here, and here I spin it through each individual yarn, and here I put it through two yarns at a time, and that gave you a different variation of the lacing on it.
Awesome. Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah,
that's amazing. So you just discovered all this, you just like figured it out just like messing around with yarns? And
yeah, coming up with the right yarn was a trick. We have tried a lot of different yarns, and you know, we wanted a really, you know, green yarn, and of course a nice soft yarn. And the Tencel did seem to be one of the greenest yarns out there, made from eucalyptus tree in a no chemical runoff circular fashion.
Yeah, they have a lot of information on their website. I'll make sure I definitely link that. And so when you're saying green, you're meaning environmentally sustainable.
Yes, thank you.
Not the color green.
No, no, no.
Which I'm actually not none of your products are dyed, right? And that again goes to your commitment to sustainability.
Yeah. Yeah, the machine just seems to really like to do, you know, things at its minimum. The bird was, you know, the lightest weight structure. That was that oversized badminton bird. And so the machine has the ability to do the lightest yet most structural forms possible. And so I'm just trying to stick with that as far as sort of a minimalist thing, which is tends to be pretty too. I was saying that, you know, minimalist here, I mean, this is patterned in, and you wind up asking yourself, would this be prettier without any of this, you know, excess patterning?
But I think to say this is one piece of fabric versus a lot of individually sewed pieces, it's a engineering wonder, you might say.
Yeah, for instance, you know, to come off a machine as one as a tube, one piece tube, and you know, with a couple holes in it for the arms, and then turn into, you know, a bra is,
can you put that one on?
Is impressive. This is the same piece that's on her, just in the bra form, whereas this one is the same dress that she has on here. And it's
just okay, big. They're just tubes. Okay, because my a question actually that was going to be next was fitting. Like these garments, I mean, they're so flexible that they probably fit across a range of sizes. But like, can you visualize the garment? Do you know what the dimensions of it are going to be? I mean, you must.
I do like, have one. I might have one more thing up on the computer. Yeah, the sizes are all varied by the speed that they come off the machine. So I have a lot of speed charts on my computer that tell me to run run certain areas at certain speeds. I can run this really slow here or faster here so that it's naturally fitting.
And so this one on her right now is a tube, like that's just circular knit.
Yeah, that's just a tube with two holes in it. Big holes and a lot of little holes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so
that's how the fabric comes off.
Okay. Cool. Right. And so if you want a bigger garment, you said you just run your machine slower and you'll get a larger, like it'll be bigger.
Yeah, faster.
Okay.
In certain areas or overall. Yep.
And I think it's interesting, like these are all different design iterations, let's say, that he contemplated and fooled around with.
Yeah. Which,
yeah, that's,
you know,
cool.
Really hard to know what's, you know, what's the best design. And,
yeah, we need someone to tell us.
Yeah, that's why like designer, like creative designer is its own job. Like it's another whole, like understanding of, I don't know, the world.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, for me, it's more a matter of having to try it and see what I think, you know. And,
yeah.
Yeah, can't really pre-design it, as you have to produce it, see what you think, and then go back.
Okay. I know we were talking about like whether this is something I could test in Clo 3D, and so the thing with Clo 3D is you make patterns from the traditional way, right? Like you take a piece of cloth and then you put your pattern on it and cut your pattern out, and that's how you like drape your pattern in 3D. So I couldn't think of a way to mimic what you're doing here with these products. It's really cool. But the thread and the tension and then the way that they're braided together have so much to do with how the garment fits in the end. So I don't know if there's anybody listening that has ideas on how that comes together, that would be interesting to hear.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, this tie makes a good, for instance, in that if I try to create, you know, the different widths of a tie, and I could just do that by running it slow to fast, and then when it would run fast, it would run wider, and when it was slow,
yeah,
run
yeah. So that's what's really cool. I was reading it in the article just before we got on the call here, was that there's pretty much zero waste in these products, because when you're creating, traditionally, when you're creating garments from big cloths, like big fabric squares, you cut it away and then there's all this waste that just goes to garbage. There's like not much you can do about it. So this is really cool, because these garments, when they're made, there's no waste involved.
Yeah, it is nice. Not only does it so little waste, that it's so lightweight too. We feel like we're using the minimal amount of material possible. Yeah.
You got the Madonna cone bra here.
Yeah, this is our classic, we call it, and it has an adjustable. Well, this is laced back. This isn't the right one. I'm sorry. It has a sort of adjustable back here that you can.
Okay, cute. Together. Yeah.
Yeah, right. We do like, you know, to make it for individuals. It's so form-fitting to different individual sizes, so you do get a real comfort fit no matter, you know, what your form is, which is nice.
How did you come up with your size range for it? Did you, like, just, like, you had to at some point pick, like, the underbust of this garment's going to be 34 inches. How did you come up with a size chart? Did you just reference different like places? Just curious.
Yeah, I think what it amounts to is how much tension you wanted on your strap. So I would try, you know, and get the right amount of tension and say, well, this piece would at this size will have this much tension, or at this size will have, you know, greater tension. And as it turned out, if you pull these out as far as you can, you add six, remove 6 inches from that, you get what, you know, to me,
the final size.
Yeah, the right amount of tension on that bottom cool. strap. Of course.
Ooh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it sounds like you started with fitting your garments when you started creating these, when you actually started creating them. Do you test on fit models?
Fit models, as in like models that are, you know, fit or...
No, just like it, just people like this, the industry will have a standard 34B fit model, like somebody who's like, this person is like classically a 34B, or anybody. It can be any size. Like, I bet, I'm sure Terry definitely helped you with fitting.
Terry was my fit model. And,
okay.
You know, once I got the one size, then I would have to try and get a couple other sizes, and then I could know my range pretty well. Okay. So I did need a small and a large fit yeah. model. To
right.
really feel like I'm doing the job right.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Another feature that I thought was cool about the bras is that you design them to be reversible, so they can actually be worn front or back.
Yeah. Well, that's Terry's fault, because she put one on backwards, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it looks better on backwards.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And she turned the hell on. And there were so many products, we wound up finding that to be true. This is our, I think someone called this a razor.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, but yeah, they, and this is our one that everybody likes, because, you know, you got a low cut out of it and a pretty nice high.
Yeah,
high
it's
end.
Pretty. Yeah, so, that's really cool.
Yeah. You know, depends how much you want to show off and wear.
Yeah, yeah, how you're feeling that day. These bras, the ones that you're just showing us and the ones that you sent me, these are not circular knit. These have to be knit flat.
Well, you know, I'm going to let that knit flat. Yes, they are knit flat. Sorry, and the secret, well, that's not a big secret. Yeah, though they are on a circular machine, they mostly come off as a tube, And then in creating lace, typically they would have a fishing line connect the different pieces of lace on that machine. Sort of like those yarns I showed you and ran that machine. There's like a lot of different ones. They would do that with lace as well. Since the lace was pretty narrow, they could run two or three laces on that machine, but they would connect those pieces with fishing line, and then the fishing line would come out after they came off the machine, and then they would be the flats that you would know as, you know, typically as lace. So yeah, so do I have anything I could illustrate that with?
In these boxes.
Well, here's a good one. The legging on this.
Oh yeah, okay. This is a good one.
So okay. This is an old piece I did, which is supposed to have integral laces. These are basically laces, but okay. These laces were created on the machine.
That's cool.
With just a different yarn there. And then if I had taken this typically if I made this yarn, these yarns, fishing line, I would just take them out and then I have a flat piece, not a tube.
Okay. All right. Cool. Yeah. So that's really interesting. Thanks for showing me around all your whole studio. This was really, really fascinating. Do you guys have anything, final points that you wanted to point out? Oh, those are cool.
Jason, these were some large composite structures we did for art.
Oh, really interesting.
A lighting show in Italy with these. Yeah, that's about as large a composite as I ever want to do.
Okay.
Did you want to?
Anything else we wanted to share?
I could just give you an aerial view of the machine, of a large machine.
Yeah.
This is 128 spindles. Okay. And on that machine is that dress, that tube dress. I don't know if you can see it.
Yeah. Rollers. Rolls it up,
then
it
went out.
And
okay, cool. Yeah.
We're still working on getting our factory set up here.
Yeah. Pretty cool operation.
Yeah, we have our woodworking shop up top.
Oh, nice. Very cool.
Well, it was a pleasure talking.
Yeah, why don't you guys let us know? I will definitely send the link to your website down below, but do you want to just give a verbal of where you can be found?
Terry, do you know where it can be found? At Tef Braids.
Or Ten Sangro.
Or Ten Sangro.
Ten Sangro. It's a hard name.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. I will definitely be putting the link in the show notes.
Yeah.
And then we're on Instagram and all those other.
Yeah. I got it. Okay. Yeah. Terry just put a page together for me on Facebook, which I got to say, it's got some pretty pictures there.
Awesome. Yeah. There's lots of beautiful pictures on your website and on the I'm going to link the article as well that I was just reading. Well, it was fantastic meeting you guys. It's a really cool product.
Thanks. It was really, thanks for spending the time with us.